It is now 6:26, and the Intergovernmental Committee is now in session. The first order of business is acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on January 18th, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The first item on the agenda is PCR-108-22, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to organize a commission to study Rhode Island Department of Education programs to identify for elimination non-beneficial unfunded mandates. Councilman Foley?
Numerous colleagues, numerous fellow educators, and people from around the state. One of the bones of contention has always been the unfunded mandates that come down from the Rhode Island Department of Education that we must implement with no funding. And all I'm asking for is a review of those unfunded mandates to see if there's any educational benefit to the student. And if not, those mandates need to be removed. Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee?
I'll likely have more to say later on, but first, may I please be added as a co-sponsor on this?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any questions from the council? Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm also going to read something into the record, which I received from one of my constituents over the weekend, and reserve further comments till I've heard from my colleagues on the City Council as well as members of the public. So, for the record, this individual that sent me this email with some concerns is a professor in the educational field as well. So he goes on to state that, although I am generally supportive of the effort to make sure that the state provides funding for education-related mandates, the language of these three items is unclear. This is lines 38, 39, and 40, for the record. He goes on to state that the primary issue here is what metric would be used when determining whether an unfunded mandate is a benefit to the student, faculty, or staff. If the request is to direct the General Assembly to begin a conversation about how to provide funding for RIDE or General Assembly mandates, then I don't see any particular issue. In fact, I am supportive of greater state funding for local public school systems. As it stands, at least as I read this, we are asking elected politicians, many of whom are not subject experts or who have little administrative experience in the educational field, to apply a cost-benefit analysis when considering what is or is not beneficial. Is the cost-benefit analysis being applied to the fact that the mandates are unfunded, or is the cost-benefit analysis being applied to what is beneficial? In the former, most of what appears before lines 38 to 40 have already addressed that question. The latter, however, opens a much more difficult conversation. An example, the question of how a cost-benefit analysis, as its metric, applies to value judgments about what type of content or subject matters are beneficial. Are there specific examples related to beneficial or non-beneficial mandates that you and the co-sponsors of this bill have in mind? Additionally, my understanding is that a significant portion of RIDE mandates have come from the General Assembly, not the other way around. So in essence, what mandates RIDE imposes or not strictly coming from them? Lacking clarity on this, I would suggest amending this resolution by eliminating lines 38 to 40, as their removal does not impact the overall intent of the resolution and avoids introducing interpreventative confusion. I wanted to put that in the record, Mr. Chairman, because I think there is certainly some valuable insight here to consider. And once again, I'll reserve any further comments once I've heard from my colleagues and members of the public. I believe my constituent may be here, but that's it for now. Thank you.
Any other comments from the council? Council President?
Thank you very much. I think it was good that the individual reached out to you. I think we want to keep it broad. I think we want them to do this study, and I don't think we need to get bogged down on any particular language. This is there's a lot of things that affect our education, and a lot of things are not funded. Let them at least identify it. That can be the first thing. Then they can do it separately and argue over what is a benefit analysis and stuff like that. But I'm not worried about, I'm not too concerned about getting bogged down in the language asking for this. This is a rather simple request of, let's identify all these different programs, all these different things that the Warwick City Council, Warwick City taxpayers are paying for that are directed from the state level. Let's identify those. That's the first step. And then the next step will be, let's see what is beneficial and what's not. So I think that this is a good, let's keep it broad. I don't think we need to get into the weeds and try to make the perfect thing to send up here. We need to have them identify these things first. I think that's the first thing, because I bet you we're all going to be surprised of all the different stuff that is mandated that that comes down to the city of Warwick for the taxpayers are paying, where it could be something that, hey, maybe that can be eliminated. Maybe the state can pick that up, or maybe we just move on from that program. So I would like to see this get, keep it nice and broad like this, covers a lot of ground, and it allows the General Assembly to, a lot of room to conduct and research all this and get that information to us. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Chairman. And to go on what the President said, but also to go on what Councilman Lattiser said, which was a great letter and great points brought up, I will say that one of the challenges in education, and first of all, I'd like to identify Sean Galligan, a school committee member who's here today, and I thank you for coming. One of the challenges as an educator is, you know, we have a job to do and we always adapt, but 90% to 95% of the curriculum, the management, the rules of the school come from federal and state. The total cost falls, a majority of the cost falls on the municipality with 5% of the say. A good example of that is, suspension. I remember back in the 90s, if you remember, if there was a fight, it was a 10-day automatic suspension or alternative learning. Alternative learning has become a thing of the past. A lot of districts stopped investing in alternative learning. And therefore, students can get into an altercation and literally within 2 days are back in the school, or the school is therefore responsible, thus meaning the municipality, to come up with an in-house, in-school suspension. That's more resources that the district must pay for to go ahead and ensure that that student is in school. The argument could be, well, the student deserves an education, absolutely, and that's what the alternate learning program was for, to give him an alternate learning. Some student, not all students are meant to be in the classroom. So there's one of the challenges of what's funded, what's not funded, what the rules we must follow with the municipality. One of the other challenges that is we run upon, especially now, pre-pandemic, we were slowly transitioning to a Chromebook, distant learning, not necessarily distant learning. We didn't have that terminology before the pandemic. So 4 short years ago, we had, how can we expand learning to the home? And they offered different programs, whether it be reduced internet costs to Chromebooks that could be signed out at the school, like a library book. Then the pandemic hit, and we did distant learning. So all the programs that the districts were required, unfunded, mandated, required to purchase before that pandemic were now obsolete. And therefore, we were required to purchase new programs. If you remember, during the budget hearings, the superintendent identified a $1 million cost item. We're not talking a few hundred, a few thousand. We're talking millions of dollars of items that we are requiring to buy in an ever constantly changing and moving profession that, oddly enough, I say those constantly changing and moving. We've been educating for 200 years, but yet the dynamic is always changing. The finish line is always changing. And absolutely correct what the writer of that letter said, Councilman. There's a lot of things that need to be taken in consideration. But I do have to agree with what the council president said. We have to start somewhere, because from 2019 to today, you know, I think the main focus has been the state taking over certain school districts, trying to fix that. That maybe, and again, I mean no disrespect to RIDE, even though I've been very vocal about my issues with RIDE. That might have been put to the wayside. This is a one way that where we could possibly save municipalities, including ours, millions of dollars in mandates that have come down from the federal and state government that float through RIDE as everything does, like a siphon in a gas tank, and then it slowly trickles to us. So I ask all my colleagues to please consider supporting this. Have the discussion, absolutely. But please, I tell you, one of the biggest frustrations is the unfunded mandates and one item alone. And I think, if I remember correctly, and I'm confident saying this, that the superintendent and the assistant superintendent said that he feels, including the previous superintendent, they feel no less than 40, but definitely more than 40% of what we pay for is due to unfunded federal and state mandates. So please keep that in consideration as we fine tune this. It's a great start. Councilman Foley, thank you so much for offering this up and for having the ability to put this forward. Council President, and to all my colleagues that put your names on this, I thank you. This is a great start and a great place to go. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Councilman Sinapi.
I will be interested to see the results of any commission on this, because to the constituent for Councilman Laddish's point, if the results are unsatisfactory or non-existent, it will be something that we should not only take further action on, but request that the General Assembly take further action on, because it's not news that the Department of Education for Rhode Island is, the nice way to say, deficient. Let's leave it at that. So the more we can do, the better, because this has been going on since, oh God, 20 years now? How old am I? All I know is I remember my father preaching how great Tollgate was and being shocked at the decline that happened since his tenure there. And a good chunk of it had nothing to do with Warwick. It had to do with RIDE, like explicitly. RIDE kept changing the curriculum, still keeps changing the curriculum, keeps changing the bar. And every time it does it, Warwick and everyone else has to spend the time and effort and unfortunately the money to adapt. And then we pay the price, not RIDE. So if we can hold them accountable in any way, I'm all for it.
Any other questions from the council?
Good evening, Council President and members of the council. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak before you this evening. My name is Sean Galligan, 14 Pilgrim Drive, Ward 2 resident, and I also have the great opportunity of serving on our school committee here in Warwick. Just to echo the sentiments of our Council President and Ward 3 Councilor Howe, I do support this resolution. And then I would also echo the sentiments of the constituent in Ward 5, talking about what we would consider as non-beneficial. So I do look forward, as Mr. Councilman Sinapi had stated, what the findings are of the analysis that is completed. That being stated, we also know that there is a funding formula that is still in its draft form. We were privy to that through the Rhode Island Association of School Committees back in mid-January. We did hear from their finance director at RIDE. The governor is looking at his budget and how that plays into it. So hopefully that funding formula does help us out. But with that still in flux right now and knowing that a lot of the programs that come onto our city are funded by us primarily, as we continue to see the gap between state funding and local funding, it is of concern. So with this resolution or your request to the General Assembly, it will certainly help, not speaking for my colleagues on the school committee, but just myself, it will certainly help us optimize those dollars that you graciously give to us through your net school funding. So I'm hoping that this resolution passes. My only other comment would be, lines 38 to 40, if there could be some form of amendment adopted whereby, considering this resolution is a request to the General Assembly, that we look to have some members of the education community be a part of that, so that way that we can really trust in the analysis that is performed. Not saying I don't have any trust in our members there at the State House. I'm just saying we probably should get the right subject matter experts there. But I do support this, especially if you see some of the bills that are at the State House right now regarding education. There's only more costs coming. And so if we can optimize the dollars you give to us, I would really appreciate that. So thank you for your time.
Good evening. My name is Jeremy Langelo. I sent the email, so thank you for reading that into the record. I just wanted to, I'm sorry. My hearing is not catching. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay, good. Jeremy Langelo. I sent the email. I just wanted to say that I am supportive of the resolution because I do think that if we're going to have a process by which the General Assembly, whether it's directly from the General Assembly or through RIDE, and they're putting mandates that have a financial cost, I think it's eminently fair and equitable that they share in the financial cost of that. So I have no issue with that. My only point in sending to Councilman Lautaser, and thank you for your quick response, was to say that I don't think lines 38 to 40 really help. I think they just muddy the waters. I think the resolution is fine without them. Because what you're trying to address is this kind of top-down funding issue. And I also appreciate School Committee Galligan and his approach to lines 38 and 40. That also sounds like a good compromise to me as well. It's a double-edged sword, right, having a centralized education system. On the one hand, you have a system like RIDE, which at least tries to have some kind of consistency across the state. On the other hand, there's a loss of local control. I don't have an answer for that. I'm just putting it out on the table, that's just the nature of the system that we're in. At the same time, I want to acknowledge that while it is frustrating that our educational systems seem to change, that's also because we learn more, right, about human development, about how humans learn, and those are good things too. So we want to make sure that we are continually learning and also integrating that new knowledge, right? And so, anyways, I don't think there's any disagreement on that. So I just wanted to identify myself, say that I do support it, and I think that it can be clear without those lines. I also appreciate Mr. Galligan's comments as well as a path forward. That's all. Thank you.
Any other questions from the public? Comments from the public? Councilman Foley?
Just to wrap up, the intent of this, I'm in a unique position, and I say this often. I taught for 40 years, 30 years at Davies Career Tech, which was a state-run institution. I was the union president numerous times. NEARI reached out to me several times to serve on committees like the one we're asking them to set up. And all on the purpose of this is, not often enough does a searchlight spotlight get put on RIDE to look at what they're doing. And I won't belabor the point. I won't recite the numerous times when I was on that committee, and my colleague, Councilman Lattiser, knowing what questions to ask, and to see the befuddlement on the faces of the people from Ride who had absolutely no idea what their mandate or their suggestions were and how that would affect a classroom, because they were not in classrooms. And all I want with this resolution, and I would like it passed as is, because all it is a suggestion to the legislature to set up another commission like they've done in the past to look at the activities and the policies of RIDE with a bright light to see exactly what they are doing or trying to do. Thank you.
Do I hear a motion?
I move favorable action.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
The second item on the agenda is PCR 26-23. A resolution requesting the Federal Aviation Administration and the Rhode Island Airport Corporation to install a visual and noise berm near Strawberry Field Road West, adjacent to the proposed relocation of the air cargo facility at Rhode Island TF Green International Airport. Councilman Howe.
Thank you so much, Chairman. Let me begin first by saying this is a request not only that I put forward, but I put forward for the residents and my constituents of Strawberry Field West, but of the residents that live on Strawberry Field West, just adjacent to the airport, and where the activity is going to increase due to the cargo. We all know that the airport is a separate entity of the city. It operates under FAA regulations and FAA supervision. It is a state mandated. As you know, we can't just charge them rent. We have to get the FAA determines that. The state then approves it and regulates it, and we can make requests, but they are their own. This was working with the Mayor Picozzi administration, as well as, you know, getting a seat at the table with these decision making. Once we heard that there was going to be an air cargo facility on airport property that is owned by the airport, once we heard that was going to happen, and once we kind of got an idea of what their plans were, the roads would be inside the body of the airport. However, that whole residential area at Strawberry Field West, where they are now, imagine having idling jet engines, and they experience it now, where you stand on a porch, and if the wind blows in the right direction, it's blowing right into your front window, so they have to close the windows if there's any jets idling. With the increased activity, which is obviously going to be a revenue generator, this was something that we made the ask. Simply put, RIAC said, if you want this to happen, or if you really need, well, you know, if this is something you guys want, and the resident said this is what they would like to have with this barrier, this noise barrier, like, so imagine driving down Route 90 and you're heading towards Western Massachusetts, or drive by any other airport that's off a highway, or any other residential area that's airport that's off a residential area, or any other highway that's off residential area, you'll see these barriers. But the barrier will face the airport, and there'll be a berm coming down with greenery facing the neighborhood. This is meant to prevent noise. This is meant to prevent it'll be just yet another opportunity to protect the residents and keep the residents at a quality of life that they wouldn't have. RIAC recommended, if we want this, it would be really strong to have a recommendation from this council, a recommendation. I want to thank the Picozzi administration, Mayor Picozzi and administration. They wrote a letter of endorsement and submitted it to RIAC to go to the FAA. And I am asking this council to do the same, to approve this resolution so that we can have included in the funding from the federal government the monies to put this barrier up for a quality of life for the residents of Strawberry Field West. Just to give you an idea before I close, the area, Taylor Rentals right across is the parking lot for the cell phone area. And then you have that long strip of simple fence. There's no other barrier. All the trees are no longer up. There's no barrier. It's literally houses, a street, parking lot, airport. No barriers. So as you know, there's been a lot of, as we're going to discuss in the next committee, about, you know, getting rid of a lot of the greenery and the trees and such that were such vital barriers. This is something that we could really use to help those residents that asked me to do this on this street. Thank you all, and I respectfully request favorable action.
Any comments or questions from the committee? Councilman Sanapi?
Just one, and it's more just a source of confusion. I don't think I'm the only person, but I received an email from one resident about how this plan requires an ordinance and road abandonment, but my understanding, this is just a resolution. So I'm not sure how road abandonment could even play into it.
Mr. Chairman? Oh, I'm sorry, Councilman. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're likely going to resolve my confusion, so go ahead.
So everything that's going on is going to happen on airport property. So this is just a resolution. This is us showing our support so the RIAC can get the money to build this wall. We are not abandoning a street. Everything that is going on airport property. The berm, the wall barrier, will be on airport property, nothing on city property. This is just one of those quality of life for our neighbors, that one extra step we're taking for our constituents. I hope that clarifies.
Yep, no, makes sense to me. And the more of those we can get, the better, because once they pulled down the tree, that was ridiculous.
Thank you.
I'm good. Questions or comments from the council? Councilman Ricks.
A quick question to the council solicitor to make sure that we have clarification on this point. So this resolution in front of this committee, this would not be costing the city anything. And the second question, this does not involve the city giving up any sorts of rights, any sort of easement, nothing of that nature, right?
Correct.
Council President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to give everybody a heads up. We will pause this committee at 7 o'clock. We have some special guests that are going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Then we'll come right back into this committee. I also wanted to just mention my support for this as well. And I also want to commend my colleague, Councilman Howe. I know that he meets with the Airport Corporation once a month in City Hall with the administration, not just on this issue, but on all issues related to the airport. So he is doing that work on behalf of his constituents, but the city of Warwick, we're all affected by the council. I mean, we're all affected by the airport on this council. So I just want to commend him for doing that work. Once a month, he's in there. I get invited, and I let him handle those meetings. So I appreciate that. I'm also in support of this, as has been stated. I won't repeat everything. This is not, we're not taking any rights away. This is not any city property. This is all going on airport property. And this is just another addition, another way to show how this council is trying to support the residents that live right there. And it's a resolution to the FAA to show the support of this. So thank you, Councilman Howe.
Any questions?
Thank you, Chairman. Also, my compliments, Councilman Howe, for spending every month with the Airport Corporation. Needless to say, over the 11 years, or going on 11 years that I've served on this council, I've had my share of interaction with the Airport Corporation, and it has not always been satisfying interaction. I think that as a city, we have been shortchanged for many, many years. But this legislation that you're proposing I think is really very important, and it's really good. I'm already getting complaints. I shouldn't say already. I continue to get complaints about late flights coming in, early flights. I received one this morning, not anywhere close to my ward, about a 5 o'clock takeoff, 5 a.m. takeoff. I'm getting calls about 1, 2 o'clock landings, and it's just, it's beyond belief. To say that I think they're a good neighbor, no, I wouldn't be able to say that. And I have no problem stating it. I've stated it before. My concern with this, and I'm going to be supporting this, of course, because I think it's not only good for your constituents, I think it's good for all of us, because at some point these flight patterns change and they come flying over our heads all the time. And oftentimes, I don't think they care what time these planes come in or leave. And God only knows what's going to happen once the traffic increases. So by all means, what you're doing is very necessary. Perhaps we'll be revisiting this with something far stronger going forward. But here's my concerns, Councilman Howe. I'm concerned that with a PCR that, you know, this could just be brushed off by the airport corporation. Just kind of, you know, let it die and people will forget. I think you just answered my second question, which would be, do they have the money to do this? I think you had said that this will be coming from a grant. So what happens if they don't get the grant? I think that's not that it's going to have any impact on how I'm going to vote this evening and probably not on our colleagues, but I think that is a legitimate concern given the things that I have seen happen or not happen, more importantly, not happen over the years. And then something that is disappointing to me is whether it be an issue to speak to the General Assembly to deal with issues with RIDE or to deal with the Airport Corporation, that someone from the Airport Corporation wasn't here this evening. So we could all ask them some point blank questions about what their intentions are to adhere to this PCR. So yeah, I'm a bit disappointed that someone from the Airport Corporation isn't here this evening. But again, kudos to you, Councilman, for taking this initiative on, and I will be supporting it. But those are my concerns, and I think my concerns are based on some pretty significant experience in the past. Thank you.
Okay, we will pause now to go into the regular council session, and then we will come back. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we're just going to pause here. We're going to start the council meeting. We're going to do just a few quick items, and then we're going to go right back into this committee to take public comment. Thank you.